Good afternoon, and welcome to Research Frontiers Investor Conference Call to discuss the second quarter of 2026 results of operations and recent developments. The company will be answering many of the questions that were emailed to it prior to this conference call in their presentation. In some cases, the company has responded directly to email questions prior to this call or will do so afterwards. There will be a live question and answer session after the company's presentation. Some statements today may contain forward-looking information identified by words such as expect, anticipate, and forecast. These reflect current beliefs, and actual results may differ materially from those expressed due to various risk factors, including those detailed in our SEC filings. Research Frontiers assumes no obligation to update or revise these statements. The call is being recorded and will be available for replay on Research Frontiers' website at smartglass.com for the next 90 days. I would now like to turn the conference over to Joe Harary, President and Chief Executive Officer of Research Frontiers. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you, Paul, and good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you to our second quarter 2026 investor conference call. Before I begin discussing the current quarter, I'd like to start by talking about our last conference call. Many of you have noticed that unlike virtually every other conference call we've held over the years, we did not have a live question and answer session. Some shareholders criticized that decision, and I understand why. The reason wasn't because we were trying to avoid questions. In fact, throughout our history, we've devoted an extraordinary amount of time to answering shareholder questions, not only during our conference calls, but also before and after them by email and telephone. I estimate we've probably spent more time in open dialogue with shareholders than many companies our size. But the decision last quarter was driven by timing. At the time of our last conference call, there were significant court proceedings underway involving our principal licensee, Gauzy. We believe it would have been inappropriate and potentially harmful to speculate publicly while those proceedings were still unfolding. Judges generally prefer that important matters be resolved in their courtroom rather than in the court of public opinion, and we believe the responsible course was to allow that legal process to move forward. Today, the situation is much clearer than it was 3 months ago. And so rather than simply reading mostly from a prepared script, I'd like this call to be more of a town hall meeting. I'll spend a few minutes discussing where we are today, what has happened over the past several quarters, and perhaps more importantly, what has not happened. Then I'd like to devote most of our remaining time to answering your questions. Out of respect to your fellow shareholders, and so we can answer as many live questions as we can on this call, I ask that you try to keep your questions to those that are of general interest to shareholders. When I step back and look objectively at the past 9 months, I think it's important not to lose sight of the bigger picture. We spent the last several quarters dealing with an extraordinary situation, but let's be clear about what that situation actually was. And understanding this is important because it explains almost everything that has happened over the past 9 months. It was not a technology problem. It was not a product problem. It was not a customer acceptance problem. It was not a competitive problem. It was fundamentally a supply chain disruption resulting from the financial restructuring of our principal SPD film manufacturer and licensee, Gauzy. Everything that followed flowed from that one event. And making that distinction is important because it explains both the challenges we experienced and why we remain optimistic about the future. Sometimes companies and their investors become so focused on what did happen that they lose sight of what didn't happen. We did not lose confidence in our technology. We did not lose our intellectual property. We did not lose our automotive qualifications. We did not lose our development pipeline. We did not lose customer interest. And remarkably, we did not lose the major programs already underway. In fact, what impressed me most over the past 9 months was the patience shown by our customers and the hard work by our licensees. These are sophisticated global companies with many alternatives available to them, yet they remain committed to SPD, and that tells me something very important. They understand the unique performance advantages SPD technology provides, and they continue to believe those advantages are worth having and worth waiting for. I think that patience is perhaps the strongest independent valuation of our technology that we could have asked for. Another proof point came from something that occurred during this very challenging period. We actually entered into a new license agreement with Climb, a division of New York Stock Exchange listed company Polaris, and a globally recognized leader in premium motorcycle equipment, to develop SPD applications for motorcycle helmet visors and sports goggles. Think about what that says. During one of the most difficult periods in our industry's recent history, another company carefully evaluated SPD technology, evaluated our intellectual property, evaluated the markets they wanted to serve, and decided that now is the right time to become a Research Frontiers licensee. Companies don't make long-term product development decisions based on technologies they don't believe in. They do so because they see opportunity. And that agreement wasn't just another press release. It was another independent validation of where SPD technology is headed. Many people have asked, what has management been doing during these past several quarters? And the answer is simple. We haven't been standing still. While Gauzy worked through its restructuring, we continued to support them as well as moving the business forward. Development of black SPD technology continued. Another encouraging validation came from the CEO of LTI, or AIT, the company that developed our retrofit product for the architectural market. He not only remains enthusiastic about the opportunity for SPD retrofit products, but also personally participated in our February friends and family financing. I believe that's another indication that people who know this technology best and know our industry best continue to have confidence in where it's all headed. Our retrofit product for the architectural market continued to advance and is well positioned to move forward as film production returns to normal. And we continue supporting automotive OEM programs. We continue supporting aircraft programs. In fact, two major new programs were won during this period. We continue working with our licensees and customers around the world. We continue strengthening relationships with existing customers while adding new ones. And we continue managing our expenses carefully while preserving the financial flexibility necessary to position the company for future growth. In other words, we didn't spend 9 months waiting. We spent 9 months preparing. We spent 9 months navigating through the challenges that Gauzy faced and helped them and their customers and their industries move forward. Some investors have asked, why didn't we simply establish another SPD film manufacturer immediately? It's a reasonable question. And historically, Research Frontiers has had only one commercial SPD film manufacturer at any given time, first Hitachi, then Gauzy. Producing automotive-grade SPD film is not like purchasing an off-the-shelf commodity. It requires years of development, substantial capital investment, highly specialized manufacturing expertise, and perhaps most importantly, consistent quality that automotive manufacturers demand. Could there be additional film manufacturers in the future? Certainly. But those decisions have to be made thoughtfully because consistency and quality are absolutely critical in the automotive industry. I'd also like to briefly address two accounting matters that a few shareholders had asked us about right before this call. First, the reserve and going concern language relating to receivables associated with Gauzy and Vision Systems. Our accounting treatment reflects uncertainty regarding timing, not uncertainty about our expectation of ultimate collectability. And the test is you have to have auditable proof that you're going to get paid within 12 months to count something. We believe these amounts will ultimately be collected in full. However, because the exact timing depends upon court-supervised proceedings outside of our control, our auditors appropriately recommended that we take a conservative accounting approach. We would not have to do that had the court indicated, for example, that on September 17th or 18th, distributions will be made to creditors. In any event, this is prudent financial reporting, and it should not be interpreted as a change in management's confidence regarding ultimate collection. Second, regarding our NASDAQ listing compliance, Our board and management are actively monitoring the situation. Our objective remains to regain compliance to improve business performance and improve market valuation. We believe that's the appropriate long-term solution rather than something like a reverse stock split. And one thing I've learned over many years in this business is that technology companies are often tested not when everything is going well, but when unexpected events occur. Over the past 9 months, I believe the entire SPD ecosystem has demonstrated remarkable resilience. Mercedes has continued supporting its existing SPD-equipped vehicles. Programs with Ferrari remain intact. Programs with Cadillac remain intact. Programs with McLaren remain intact. Aircraft opportunities continue moving forward, and as I mentioned earlier, two new ones from a large OEM were won recently. Retrofit development and project acquisition continues. New applications continue to emerge. New licensees continue joining us. Customer enthusiasm has remained strong. And when I look at all these facts together, I don't see a technology or a company in retreat. I see a technology whose underlying momentum has continued despite a temporary interruption in its supply chain. Our business model remains exactly what it's always been. We invent, we innovate, we license, and our licensees manufacture. Our customers incorporate SPD into products that improve the lives of people around the world. That business model has enabled us to build an extraordinary intellectual property portfolio while addressing markets ranging from automotive and aerospace to architecture, marine, transportation, and now premium eyewear. In addition to what our licensees have invested, Research Frontiers has invested well over $125 million over the years to bring SPD technology from the laboratory and into commercial production. Many companies spend years proving that a technology works in the laboratory, but never succeed in commercializing it. Others achieve commercialization, but never reach the quality, consistency, reliability, and cost structure demanded by industries like automotive and aerospace. We and our licensees have accomplished all that. SPD today is not an experimental technology. It is a proven, reliable, commercial product that has met the demanding standards of some of the world's leading manufacturers, and we're the only company that has done that across four different automotive OEMs. Many companies never get that far. They never accomplish that. Many spend considerably more and before ultimately abandoning their technologies. We didn't. SPD is proven and reliable commercial technology. And when I step back today and look at where we are today compared with a year ago, I actually see more reasons for optimism than pessimism. The smart glass market continues to expand. Our intellectual property portfolio is strong. Our application pipeline continues to broaden. We've added a new licensee. We added two new aircraft programs, and our customers have remained committed. And the restructuring process that has dominated so much of our recent discussion regarding Gauzy is substantially closer to its conclusion than to its beginning and may be concluded as soon as next month. 9 months ago, some investors wondered whether SPD technology could survive the disruption created by Gauzy's restructuring. Today, I believe the evidence points to a very different conclusion. SPD didn't simply survive. It continued attracting customers. It continued attracting new licensees. It continued opening new applications. And it continued earning the confidence of companies making long-term commitments to the technology. Our job now is to convert that resilience into renewed growth as production returns to normal. We have a great deal of work ahead of us, and I remain very confident in the long-term opportunities for SPD technology and the dedication of the people who work every day to realize that opportunity. With that, rather than continue with prepared remarks, I'd like to turn this town hall discussion over. So let's open the floor to questions. And as always, if your questions are of general interest to our shareholders, we'll answer as many as we can during today's call. If we don't get to your question or if it's specific to your individual circumstances, please contact us after the call and we'll do our best to respond as promptly as possible. We usually respond to email questions within 24 hours. Thank you and let's begin. And as we wait for people to join the Q&A queue, let me answer a question received from several shareholders about the status of current production of SPD emulsion and film and possible scenarios that Research Frontiers might be considering. This is probably the most asked question I have received, so I know it's on many people's minds right now. As Gauzy has publicly disclosed, its financial restructuring substantially affected its operations over the past several months. Like many companies undergoing court-supervised restructurings, there were periods when liquidity constraints affected its ability to operate at normal production levels. Also, workers were unpaid, and some left and some were laid off. As a result, production of SPD emulsion and film slowed significantly and at some point essentially stopped while those issues were being addressed. Then things start to flow again. Gauzy has continued supplying customers using existing inventories of SPD emulsion and film while working through the restructuring process. That inventory, together with careful prioritization of customer requirements, has allowed important programs to continue, even though production has not yet been at the level any of us would like. You can see this reflected in the lower royalties that we had this quarter. Looking forward, there are several possible paths by which the supply of SPD film can continue, and they all ultimately support the same long-term objective, restoring and expanding production capacity. The first plan, Plan A, is what we believe to be the most likely outcome. Gauzy successfully completes its restructuring and resumes full-scale production of both SPD emulsion and SPD film. This would be the least disruptive to our supply chain and the timing of product deliveries. Another possible outcome, Plan B, would be for Gauzy to continue manufacturing SPD emulsion while another qualified company coats that emulsion into finished SPD film. Plan C would be for another qualified manufacturer to produce both SPD emulsion and SPD film under license from us. And finally, depending on circumstances and opportunities that may arise, Plan D is that Research Frontiers itself could participate more directly in preserving or acquiring certain SPD manufacturing assets if doing so were determined to be in the best interest of our shareholders. The important point is that none of these scenarios changes the long-term opportunity for SPD technology. They simply represent different paths forward towards restoring and expanding manufacturing capacity. Some may be more disruptive to our supply chain than others, so we are also factoring that in. Variants of these contingency plans are all underway, but once again, our expectation is that Gauzy will successfully emerge from bankruptcy shortly under Plan A. And our objective remains exactly what it has always been, to ensure that the market has a reliable, high-quality supply of SPD film capable of supporting the growing demand we continue to see across automotive, aerospace, architectural, and other markets. Paul, if we have any questions in the queue, let's try them.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You will be placed into the queue in the order received. Please be prepared to ask your question when prompted. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone now. And our first question comes from Jeff Harvey, an investor.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good. A couple of questions. First of all, given the financial difficulty that the Gauzy's in, I'm very concerned they're not going to be able to get funding to the level that they would need to really be able to ramp up film production for your customers. So the second thing is, as you mentioned to me, you know, it was announced that Clayens bought Vision Systems, and then you told me that they never got approval for aerospace applications. I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about that. And today, Gauzy traded 230 million shares, which is a highly unusual number.
And yes, it is.
7 cents and ended up at 40 cents, and it's now 38 cents after hours. I don't know if it's something announced today at the French court.
Okay, great questions, Jeff, and thank you for asking them. Let me start with the first question you had, which is about the financial ability of Gauzy moving forward. And I'm going to throw out some numbers, and it's my best understanding of the situation in France, in Germany, and in Israel. So in France, there was a bankruptcy proceeding, an involuntary bankruptcy proceeding, or what they call a rehabilitation proceeding, filed. And as part of that process, Gauzy presents a plan of continuation, and they're presenting a revised plan on September 7th, so coming up. But the plan of continuation that they presented actually had major funding coming from the sale of a division that doesn't involve SPD technology. And my understanding was that it was an American company that was well capitalized in the industry that offered $125 million. For some reason, and that was a for a sliver of the Vision Systems company business. For some reason, I'm not sure what it was, the court instead directed that the entire Vision Systems company, including that division that could have been sold for $125 million, be sold to a company called Clayens, which is a local company not too far from where Vision Systems is in France. We may never know what happened there, and the lawyer representing France committed suicide at some point right before the hearing. But it just seems odd that they would reach that result where they would accept 9 million euros or roughly $10 million for the entire company compared to a signed agreement for 125 million for part of it. So that's one of the things that I think in September will work itself through. Now, what I'm told is one of the rules of tendering, like Clayens did, is that if you lose an appeal, you lose the money you put down. So they put down 9 million euros, and it's being held in escrow by the court. And regardless of whether Gauzy wins or loses that appeal, that $9 million is released to pay Vision Systems' debt, which pays us in full. If they win the appeal, they still get the 9 million euros, but they also get 125 million. So that alone can be a substantial benefit to Gauzy. But they're not just relying on that. In Israel, they've got a court approval on July 18th, so very recently, for a debt restructuring plan. It's not through a bankruptcy proceeding. It's through a negotiated process under Israeli law. And what that process does, and I'm not an expert in Israeli reorganization law, but what it does basically is it pays all of the employees 100 cents on the dollar immediately. Okay, that's great because we got to get people back to work and making film and emulsion. It also takes some of the institutional creditors, like the Israeli equivalent of the IRS and their pension fund, regulatory agency, and it pays them off over 5 years after a six-month break before they start paying. So 5 years, they get pushed out interest-free, and they pay that off. Larger creditors, we don't qualify for that, is my understanding, get paid after a six-month hiatus over 3 years. And then companies like us, you know, are owed less amounts of money, and, you know, we get paid immediately from that. But in order to do that, Gauzy has to show that they have the money to execute on that plan. So they've arranged for, and I know two of the participants are former directors of Gauzy that have invested substantial amounts of money, and, you know, I think they're each billionaires in Gauzy over the years, to supply a $7 million financing. That financing allows them to pay off the employees and the smaller creditors, get production started again in Germany. And I'm told, as of this morning when I spoke to the CEO of Gauzy, that, you know, money has started to flow towards Germany now as a result of that financing. So things are starting to restart because of all this. And I think ultimately what's going to happen is Gauzy is going to emerge from this as a leaner, better capitalized, and, you know, I think more focused company. And that'll be good for us. Your second question was, why would the court sell Clayens to a company that didn't have the necessary operating permits to run an aerospace company? It's very hard to get an answer on that. So I can't opine, but my understanding was that the equivalent of the French FAA actually weighed in to confirm that Clayens did not have the permits necessary to run an aerospace business. So we'll see what happens in September on that. And your third question, I'm trying to remember. I'm sorry.
Well, as I mentioned, their stock traded 230 million shares today. So was there something that
there was no news that either I nor the CEO of Gauzy was aware of that would account for that kind of price movement and volume. I think at one point it went up to 94 cents. It was crazy. we were actually on the phone when it was happening. So, you know, around 10:30 this morning, the volume and the stock was going nuts.
So how, you know, and looking back, Joe, what would have been the process of switching to another manufacturer? I mean, I'm just concerned this is going to drag on a long time. Your revenue is going to be down for the next few quarters as a result of this. Why not go to the plan B and switch to somebody else?
Yeah, well, that takes time. And given the fact that there would be two entrants in the market sharing a market, it becomes a little more difficult than if there's one entrant in the market. But it's one of the plans that we're pursuing, Jeff, is to talk to a third-party manufacturer that can do everything. But it also takes time for them to gear up. I mean, if you look at Hitachi, they had this as the special project of the president with all the resources and best engineers and any money they needed, and they were licensed in 1999, and it wasn't until 2010 that after 5 years of testing at Mercedes that a commercial product came out. So the situation is different. You have an established market now. You don't have an emerging market with no customers like existed back then. But, you know, if you just do the math, it took them 4 or 5 years to get SPD film up to automotive quality. And this is Hitachi Chemical, which has, you know, excellent, you know, precision coating capabilities. Now, Gauzy took less time to do it. And, you know, because the technology has matured and technology is advanced, you know, such as coating and curing technology, it probably is not going to take as long to get a new person up and running. And, you know, in our discussions, a lot of the companies already have the necessary equipment and capabilities. So that's kind of the things we're pursuing in parallel here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from John Nelson, an investor.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, John.
Thanks for supplying a lot of useful information on updates for the company and the Gauzy situation and the options provided or available. Questions I have are more related to the product line. You had mentioned the German plant was not producing film, but I'm assuming the Israeli plant is still producing.
Well, it's not really a matter of producing film. A lot of the people weren't allowed to return to work until there was actually a plan in place to pay them. I mean, remember, these are countries that protect workers, you know, quite strongly. So, you know, once things started flowing back towards Germany and in Israel with, you know, the recent developments, you know, including the July 18th court hearing where the, you know, court approved the debt restructuring plan. It still has to go to creditors, but where they approved that, that started the flow of money towards getting people back to work. So, you know, we don't have to wait for every T to be crossed and I to be dotted for that to happen. And in the meantime, okay, you know, I think, you know, Gauzy doesn't want to deplete their inventory completely because they need to replenish it for some of the bigger orders that are waiting.
Mm-hmm. So are you, or I should say, is Gauzy currently shipping product to some or all of your current customer list?
They have been, and okay, you know, as of today, I don't know if they have to wait to make more film, but everybody has been pretty much kept in the information loop, and we're able to plan around, you know, this disruption, which, you know, is something that Research Frontiers took a very active role in, as well in terms of helping these customers as well as Gauzy. So, we want to keep the customers happy.
Okay, good. And do you think you'll be able to name the two new major aircraft programs that you said?
You know, this morning I went on the manufacturer's website, and for whatever reason, they just said smart windows. They didn't name it yet. So, but I think, like everything, or with the, you know, with the passage of time, we're able to reveal more and more. So, let's let the customer have a little bit of time, and then after that, you may hear it, their name on the conference call, a future conference call, similar to what we did with Ferrari, where, you know, we announced it a couple of years before we formally, or Gauzy formally got permission, but we were able to do it.
Okay. And then you mentioned Ferrari. They have a new model that they've introduced. Is there any indications that your product will be offered on the new model as an option?
I don't see on their configurator a lot of information about it. That doesn't mean that it's not an option or not. But, you know, I think at some point, you know, we'll be able to perhaps say something. You know, it's a weird world that these automotive companies live in, you know, and I could understand it. I mean, they want you thinking about their name, not Research Frontiers or anyone else's name. So they're very reluctant to name who the suppliers are.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And then you had mentioned that the SPD Black development program was still
moving
being
forward.
Continued.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the idea with the Black SPD. Obviously, is to get something that's not the sapphire blue, but more of a black. And you know, I've seen samples of the product. It looks amazing. I saw it when I was in Israel. I saw it at in the back room at CES, you know, much cruder form than when I saw it in Israel. So basically it's advanced a lot. And really it's just a matter of resource and people. They have the emulsion. They need people and the ability to, mm-hmm, you know, put that through. But they're certainly, it's an exciting product.
Okay, good. And then on the retrofit product, has that been officially introduced or marketed, do you have any sense of when that product will, you know, be available for customers?
Yeah. Let me share with you a conversation, and I think it'll probably answer your question indirectly if I could, John. So the CEO of LTI, he's owed money from Gauzy. We had a conversation maybe about a week ago, and I gave him an update as to everything that I knew was going on at Gauzy, you know, based on kind of my own analysis and my conversations, you know, almost on a daily basis with Gauzy. And he said, that's all really good, Joe, but the main thing I'm interested in is getting film production restarted again, because there is huge business in the retrofit that dwarfs anything I'm owed. So, yeah, he's already started, you know, and is ready to hit the ground running with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
And what I like about that is the lead, and what I like about the architectural retrofit is the lead times are much more within everyone's control. You know, it's really a sales and marketing and spec job. You speak to the project, you get it spec'd in, and then you deliver the glass. as opposed to automotive, where it could take 3 or 4 years. This is a lot quicker, and especially when you know it's a retrofit where there's not a lot of prep you have to do. You know, you could just go in over a weekend and, you know, upgrade an existing building.
Okay, good. Looking forward to seeing some product sales out of that category.
Well, me too. Thanks.
Yeah.
And our next question comes from Bruce Denny, an investor. Mr. Denny, your line is open. Mr. Denny, can you hear us?
Can we come back to him? He may have not realized he's on mute. Okay.
All right. And just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your phone now. And our next question comes from Michael Kay of Kay Associates.
Thank you. I may have to leave in the middle because someone will be coming. There was a conflict in terms of time. Could you hear me?
Sure. Yeah, we hear you. And by the way, congratulations.
Okay, Joe. Well,
congratulations, Professor, on the award that the university gave you. That's very nice recognition.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Several things. During many conference calls, you indicated two things. More than two, that SPD was superior to all other types of light control technologies on the market, and also that in terms of cost cutting, the sweet spot had been reached. And given that, I mean, even before the Gauzy travesty or whatever you want to call it, it seems that
I call it hitting a brick wall, which is. You know, it's true. I mean, the performance and the cost were all coming in line nicely. And then around that same time, I think that was in September, and by November, they hit the brick wall. So,
well, I wanted to ask that I would think that given those two attributes, lower cost and superiority of the technology, that there would be would have been many more contracts and deals being made with OEMs. And I would think also that given the price of the shares, I mean, just pennies, that some companies simply wouldn't, acquire Research Frontiers unless there's a poison pill or something like that that would make it difficult.
There is a poison pill in place. And other shark repellents to make sure that when we do get an offer, our shareholders are getting a fair offer. But as far as deals, the way this works is you don't see an announcement of a deal between us and, let's say, a car company. You see a supply agreement being granted to a glass company, and that's usually the extent of the visibility, and usually that happens well after the contract has been awarded. I mean, I remember with Mercedes, I once asked the head of the project, I said, Hans, why don't you announce that Pilkington and Asahi have won the business? He goes, Joe, we keep everybody off balance a little bit in our supply chain, so we wait till the last minute.
The other thing is, one of the positives, I've been a very, very, very long-time shareholder, that you had mentioned several times that it was important to have another company, that could do the film and the emulsion. And that was extremely prescient, so to speak, because now that would have come in handy to have a backup company that could do it,
right,
given
right.
given the mishigas, if you'd pardon the expression,
yes.
that happened with Gauzy. So
right.
he didn't follow through on your, you know, on your feeling about the importance, maybe even having a company in the United States, you know, that could do film and emulsion and
yeah.
such. So
I addressed it a bit earlier. I'm not sure if you were on the call back then, but
yeah.
we talked about that specific question about why do you have one film supplier and not multiple ones. So anyway,
the other thing, the last one, what I don't understand. Do you have contacts with the SEC or something? Because given the share price of the company, the fact that it did not meet, and you know, it's not profitable, but especially that it's been trading well under a dollar, how come it's not forced to be, delisted? Now, I don't want such to occur, of course, but how...
Well, it's not the SEC. Sure. Well, no, it's not a matter of circumvention. So we received a notice from NASDAQ. It wouldn't be the SEC. The SEC basically deals with the registration of securities and making sure that in that process there's proper disclosure of everything to investors. That's the extent of, you know, what the SEC really does. And, you know, they also prosecute insider trading and all this other stuff. But basically, they don't get involved with listing. That's under the umbrella of NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, who sets the listing standards. We did receive a notice when our stock went below a dollar for a certain period of time that we had 180 days, which puts us till the end of November, basically, to come back in compliance. And that also puts us in compliance with the market value requirement as well. So, what I said earlier was, you know, we plan on addressing that by good old-fashioned operational excellence and, you know, and results of operation. If it doesn't happen, we'll reevaluate that as we get closer to November. And usually they give you another 180 days, although it's not guaranteed, if you don't meet the first one. So
basically,
you know,
if you have until November or even later, to comply with the
right, and what I believe, and what I believe is going to happen, Michael, is that once the cloud is lifted over Gauzy, because all this happened really, you know, as a result of Gauzy hitting that brick wall that they did. You
well,
know, once that's lifted, yeah.
Door,
okay.
I apologize,
alrighty.
But
thank
it's
you. Good talking
yes.
to you.
Thank
good
you
talking
very much.
To you. We'll catch up after the call if you want.
All right. And at this time, we have no further questions in queue. I'll turn the
okay.
call back. Oh, actually, sorry. We did get a question. As a reminder,
sure.
if you do have a question, make sure that you press star one on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes from Gerard Sherman, an investor.
Hi, Joe. Question for you on the cash situation. What are we looking at for the next raise, and how do you plan on doing it?
Not sure we're going to have to if we collect what we're owed, and that's kind of part of the balancing. And also, if we go to Plan D, okay, which is us maybe acquiring some of the production assets of Gauzy, we would need more than if we did Plan A, B, or C. So, you know, it's probably too early to figure out if we need to raise money and how much, but if we do need to raise for a Plan D, you know, us acquiring the production assets, then it would be more than if it's just, you know, for working capital and things like that. And, you know, as of the end of the quarter,
sense.
We had over $1 million, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. But what are our options? Do we have any ability of taking on debt? Does it always have to be an equity raise? Like, what do you have more than one option?
All options are available. I mean, we've avoided debt since 1986, but, you know, under the right circumstances, debt may be, you know, appropriate. You know, and as a board, we'll discuss that, you know, if it becomes, you know, a discussion topic. But if we collect what we're owed and, you know, the market restarts the way we think it will, we may not have to raise capital.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
And our next question comes from Bruce Denny, an investor.
Hello?
Hey, Dr. Denny, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very good.
Sorry about the snafu earlier.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about a new contract you're talking about with an airline or manufacturer.
Yes.
When will we start to see revenues from that, and what scale are we talking about? Boeing or?
Well, we already have Boeing. We already have Boeing and Airbus. So this would be some new programs. This manufacturer was so interested and enthusiastic about SPD that it actually wrote a letter to the French court explaining why SPD is strategically important to it, which was nice to see. I happen to be in Melbourne, Florida, at the Vision Systems North America facility when that person was there. So we had an opportunity also to chat about it, and he's very excited about it. So that's all I could say at this point. I do think that it's nice when customers support you like that, and they definitely stepped up to the plate for Gauzy.
Well, very good. Are the major manufacturers?
Yes, you would have heard of them. You would have heard of them.
Yeah, you do. But are they employing the SPD technology in greater numbers, or is it still very low volume that they're doing, or what do you see happening?
Well, when you say very low volume, it depends on what you're comparing it to. I mean, for example, the transport category aircraft market is one-tenth of the size of the sunroof market for cars. So, but it's still $25 million revenue opportunity for Research Frontiers. So relatively speaking, you know, it's not the volume that you would get from architectural or automotive in terms of the dollar values, but it's still very significant. And the good thing about our business is it doesn't cost us anything to be diversified across all these different industries because, you know, we don't have the manufacturing costs. We collect our royalty. And the royalty per window is much higher there. I mean, one window in aircraft is like 10 windows in let's say, automotive.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Are you aware of any?
Actually, it's 15. Actually, it's 15 because we get a higher royalty also in aircraft.
Okay. Well, that's encouraging. And how about General Motors? I know they're getting their toe in the water with the Celestique. But have you been in discussions with them about introducing it in other product
lines? We've had multiple discussions. I mean, one is just high volume cars within GM, and you know, because of I think the benefits that SPD has that they're demonstrating in the Celestique, they can they could easily translate that experience into other cars. But also they didn't shoot themselves in the foot. Their supplier shot themselves in the foot with the Corvette roof. It was a competitor of ours, and it didn't go well. They weren't able to mass produce it, and they had to pull it from production. So that hurt the other supplier, but it helps us because I think it makes the fact that we've been in four different car model manufacturers and multiple car models even more remarkable that we were able to operate in the rigors of the automotive environment.
Uh-huh. How about the Asian market, Asian manufacturers? Interfacing with...
Still moving forward on all fronts. You know, the like I said earlier, the most remarkable thing about this process is that the technology is so strong and beneficial that people, I think, understand the value and, you know, it's remarkable, but they've stayed with us. So
Okay.
You know, it's a tribute.
Right.
It's a tribute to our licensees and to our technology.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Leonard Lietzau, an investor.
Good afternoon, Joe. I appreciate your call and the information you're giving us. I think with new people like that.
Len, I think we lost you for a minute there. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, she keeps telling me my line is on hold.
I could hear you. Now I could hear you fine. I think
okay.
It just clicked off.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you for all that information that came out. It seems like everything is moving forward. My question gets a little bit, assuming that we get through this thing between now and the end of September, you know, how quick will the volume start increasing so that we, nobody's left, and the auto manufacturers, you say, are still there. And with the retrofit of the windows, which would be obviously a very big push, I would assume. So, you know, are you seeing the ability of them to make enough film to satisfy what's out there? And
yes,
will it happen by the end of the year?
Yeah, I believe yes to both questions. You know, there's been a pent-up demand because of the supply issue that needs to be filled, but there's also a new product that has to be, you know, new
right,
projects
with the black,
that
yeah.
are out there. Right, right. And also just in general, just, you know, new tradition, you know, new products for SPD that and new customers that need it. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that, you know, will be restarted almost immediately when film restarts. And that's why I was so
okay.
happy to hear this morning that, you know, they've started to, you know, direct money towards, you know, rehiring their people and things like that so that everyone can get back to the job they do so well when they do it.
Now, that was a very important piece of information. I totally agree.
Yes.
So I know you've worked hard, and I know you've had more on your plate than most people would like to have, and I think you've done a good job doing it. So thanks for
Thank
keeping
you.
Us in the loop.
Yeah. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Carrie Christie, an investor.
Yeah. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Carrie.
How you doing? We've been going back and forth a little bit the last couple of days.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the companies that you mentioned in there as competitor is Ambilight,
right.
Inc. And I've been doing the good old fashioned let's get on AI and see what's going on. And not all of that's accurate. But according to them, BYD and some of their subs, as well as Audi, are using the Ambilight product. It's a they're using, I guess, multiple film layers in order to get the various effects they want to get. And
yeah.
Do you know what the basic performance difference is between their product and the SPD product?
Sure. So it's an electrochromic product, which means as it gets bigger, it gets slower. I actually sat in at CES in one of their cars with their CTO, and we had a nice chat about everything.
Yeah.
You know, it has the same inherent limitations of other electrochromics. You know, the iris
yeah.
effect, the it gets slower as it gets bigger, those types of things. They do have one advantage, kind of, in China at least, and that's why maybe you see BYD there, is, as you can imagine in China, when the CCP says to do something, you do something. So I imagine, and this is not just imagination, this was directly confirmed by somebody else, not the CTO, but somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, they were directed. They were directed. BYD was directed to do business with them, and they were directed to do business with BYD. And you don't say no when that happens in China. So, so you know, we don't have that kind of situation where, you know, Xi Jinping is going to tell someone to use Research Frontiers product, but you know, for the rest of the world, we're good.
Yeah, the thing that I was that caught my attention was the laminating, and obviously that's something that's been working on, are being worked on here.
All these companies, you know, have something that switches. The question is, what are the warts? You know, years ago, Merck had a thing that looked black, but it was a liquid that had to get poured between two pieces of glass. So the wart was you couldn't put it on anything that was curved, remotely curved, or not, you know, not flat. So, you know, and horizontal or vertical. So it became, you know, the warts become apparent when you try to move it from an idea into the real world. And it doesn't mean there's not a market for it. I mean, even slow switching electrochromic, you know, has, you know, where you don't need speed, you know, like on a, you know, warehouse glass or something like that, maybe you can get away with it. But for things like homes or offices, so, you know, electrochromic's not going to cut it. And in automotive, they tend to not want to use electrochromics because the car usually arrives at its destination before the glass switches. So, you know, that's,
well, they were talking about using PDLC laminate to
PDLC doesn't have PDLC doesn't have a switching problem, but electrochromic does in terms of speed.
Yeah, they're talking layering them together.
Yeah. PDLC really is good for privacy only, and it may look like the glass is switching, but it's not doing any thermal benefit, which is really why you put it on a sunroof.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't want to get into too many specifics about Ambilight. You know, they are a competitor in some markets, and I think they wish they were us in most of them.
Okay, well, that's good news. okay, so you think we're going to be up and running this year?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as soon as, well, since money is starting to flow to restart Germany, I think that helps a lot. And then also just in general, getting out of the bankruptcy, you know, will allow Gauzy management to focus on, you know, what they do best. And, you know, then we'll go back to normal, and then we'll also do better. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. Okay, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks.
And at this time, we have no further questions in queue. I will now turn the call back over to Mr. Harari for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Paul. And thank you, everybody, for your patience as we kind of went through a lot of detailed information, but I think everyone deserves to know what's going on. And if I haven't fully answered anyone's questions, please feel free to call or email. But perhaps the most important point I'd like everyone to remember today is this. Nothing has happened over the past 9 months that's changed our view of the long-term opportunity of SPD. If anything, the continued commitment of our customers, our licensees, and now a new licensee like Climb, and a direct investment by a licensee has reinforced that confidence. And we also have four contingency plans for moving forward. And the past 9 months have undoubtedly been some of the most challenging periods our company has experienced in recent years, and we've never tried to minimize that. We've just tried to work through it. Our principal supplier went through a major financial restructuring, and certainly production slowed and stopped for a while, and programs were delayed. Our financial statements reflected an appropriate accounting conservatism while these proceedings worked their way through the courts, and these are simply the facts, but those facts only tell part of the story. The other part of the story is what didn't happen. our technology didn't stop working and our patents didn't lose their value and our customers didn't abandon us and our licensees didn't walk away and the markets we served certainly didn't disappear. They actually expanded. In fact, despite all the uncertainty, we continue adding new opportunities, continuing advancing new applications, continuing strengthening our intellectual property, and continued earning the confidence of companies willing to make long-term commitments to SPD technology. The new license agreement with Climb is very exciting. It's just one example of that confidence. The volumes can be very, very large. And I like the fact that it's a consumer application because it has, you know, visibility to a lot more people and a lot different people than those that drive McLarens and Ferraris. The continued commitment we've seen from our automotive, aerospace, and other partners is another thing that I take, you know, great pride in. And to me, those are the powerful indicators of where the technology is ultimately headed, but you can make your own judgment on this. And over the long history of Research Frontiers, we've seen economic recessions, financial crises, supply chain disruptions, industry changes and downturns, and global events that no one could have predicted. And every one of those periods seemed enormously important at the time. Yet through all of them, we continued improving our technology, expanding our intellectual property portfolio, adding new licensees, entering into new markets, and moving steadily towards broader commercialization. I believe this period will ultimately be viewed much in the same way, not as a change in the long-term direction of our company, but as a temporary interruption in a much steadier journey upwards. Today, I believe we're much closer to the end of this difficult chapter than to its beginning. And as Gauzy completes its restructuring and resumes full production, I believe the conversation will shift away from court proceedings and supply constraints and back to what has always driven this company, innovation, commercialization, and growth. And as Gauzy completes its restructuring, I believe it will also emerge as a leaner, more focused, and more appropriately capitalized company. And that should ultimately benefit Gauzy and their customers, Research Frontiers, and the entire SPD Smart Glass ecosystem. And we're ready. Our technology is ready. Our customers are ready. Our licensees are ready. New applications are ready. And our management teams are ready. And to our long-term shareholders, I'd like to sincerely thank you for your patience, your thoughtful questions, and your continued confidence during what has unquestionably been a very difficult period. And many of you have been with us for years, and some, including a number of our board members, for decades. We never take that support for granted. And for those that have joined us more recently, we welcome you. And we hope today's discussion has helped provide greater context for where we are, how we got here, and why we remain optimistic about the future. We don't control every event that affects our business, but we do control how we respond. And over the past 9 months, we've stayed focused, we've stayed disciplined, we've continued investing in our future, and we've continued building value for the long term. And perhaps the strongest endorsement of SPD over the past 9 months didn't come from us at all. It came from our customers. Despite every delay, despite every headline, despite every challenge, they stayed with the technology. In business, actions speak louder than words, and I think that's one of the strongest votes of confidence SPD could receive from our customers. Many times, the mark of a good captain is a steady, watchful, and experienced hand at the tiller, especially in rough seas. Our mission today is the same as it has always been, to make SPD Smart Glass a standard featured in products around the world that improve comfort, safety, energy efficiency, and the user experience. I remain as excited about that opportunity today as I have ever been. And I thank you for your continued support of Research Frontiers. And we look forward to updating you again next quarter, with Gauzy continuing to execute on their plans in Israel, Germany, and France, and the final appeal in France scheduled for mid-September that could bring substantial additional capital to the company. And also, Gauzy expanding in the United States. And I'm very confident that we will be able to once again focus where our attention belongs, on the steady and growing adoption of SPD technology across the automotive, aerospace, architectural, and consumer markets that we serve. Thank you again.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for attending.